Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Power Pedo's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of being on top. Who am I? I am your modest host. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I've won some awards for my boxing writing. So allegedly, supposedly, I'm supposed to know a little bit about boxing. But I've always found out that the average boxing fan probably knows more than I do, has a different insight to the game of boxing. So straight up, I open up the toll-free phone lines at the top of the hour just for you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. It's the toll-free studio line. Of course, you can also text us here in the studio. Studio text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You know, I've seen some far show fights in my time. I mean, I've seen fixed fights. I've seen fights where guys are taking dives. I've seen Muhammad Ali take part in wrestling matches with Antonio Inoki and Lyle Alzado of the former NFL star that was famous for steroids. Bottom line is, you know, exhibitions are exhibitions, but I never thought of a guy would be able to generate $100 million doing an exhibition against a guy that's never won a fight. I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather. His record stands at 49-0. The guy is going to fight tonight or box tonight or have an exhibition, and whatever they're going to do, he's 0-1. 0-1. So who am I to call Floyd Mayweather a crook, saying he's the biggest con since Paul Newman and Robert Redford in the movie The Sting on circa 1972. I kid you not. Because this is the biggest con of all time. And guess what? If you buy into it, you're part of the con. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV.
Would it bother you much if I worked a little longer?
I'll just pull the door closed when you leave.
Thank you.
If there's magic in boxing, it's the magic of fighting battles beyond endurance, beyond cracked ribs, ruptured kidneys, and detached retinas. It's the magic of risking everything for a dream that nobody sees but you.
Time to bring it to the City of Angels, Southern California, bringing the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, of course. How are you this morning, sir, and how is he, Godmama?
We're doing all right. Beautiful day out here, and a friend of Patricia's is down from state of Washington to happy us.
Isn't it cool to see people again? I mean, I'm a bit of a loner, and you know that to an extent, but I'm very happy to see people again.
Yeah. Well, it's happening, and people are
rejoicing
and remembering what life was about. Friends and family and all that good stuff.
Good point. You know, Larry, a lot of people have been sending me texts and emails and this and that over the period of the pandemic, watching boxing movies. Do I like this one? Do I like that one? I'm not a big boxing movie guy. I had Bud Schoberg on the show like about 15 or 20 years ago. He, of course, wrote On the Waterfront, I believe, with Marlon Brando back in the 50s. That's considered one of the greatest boxing movies of all time. We heard the clip coming in here with Morgan Freeman, I believe, and Million Dollar Baby. So what do you think were some of the better boxing movies? And were you in Million Dollar Baby? Was that one of your flicks?
It was a nice movie. Yeah. I think it helped encourage women who wanted to try the game with boxing gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back as a kid to Body and Soul.
Whoa.
With John Garfield.
John Garfield. Yeah. There was a remake of that. There was a poor remake of it, but go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Right. It was a classic movie, and it put three words into the language, body and soul. So that's one of them that I remember, and of course they're the Rocky movies. I spent time with Stallone when I was at NBC. Came out here to the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles, and he gave us an exhibition of how you choreograph a fight. I had never put in my mind the word choreograph and fight together, but that's basically what it is. And you could hear Stallone talking under his breath to Carl Meadows, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and saying, okay, I'm going to the ropes, I'm going to throw a left, and it was like scripted, but under their breath they were playing it out.
Well, choreographed, that sort of sounds like what I think might take place tonight, this $100 million exhibition. Larry, you and I are not Floyd Mayweather fans, but I mean, how you can show up to a non-fight and make $80 million or a guaranteed $80 million is beyond me.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, boxers from time immemorial have found gigs to make money after they retired, but not this kind of money because it's a different world today, and if he can make it, good for him. But he's not going to have my $50 or whatever they're charging.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not a boxing event, and it's a boxing exhibition.
Yeah, and it has a WWE flair to it, without a doubt. And, of course, the $20 million going to a guy that's never won a fight. And, of course, Mayweather's like 49-0. Good Lord. Anyway, you know, I was thinking about Ali, and Ali did some, I don't say low-level things, but the Inoki thing, of course, probably took a couple years off his career, the damage to his legs from getting kicked in the legs. But he did the Lyle Alzado thing. I mean, Ali did a few of those crazy things. I mean, Jack Dempsey did some exhibitions and things like that. So everybody's done a little bit wrestling and things like that, but never this kind of money. And, of course, it's a different world right now. But straight up, Larry, I think it would be great for the boxing game if Floyd Mayweather got knocked into the dirt tonight. And the reason why I say that is I'm not a Mayweather fan. And secondly, I think it would bring all kinds of more squares to the game of boxing, getting to watch it.
Well,
it ain't happening.
I'm not counting on that. And I mean, come on. We know that it's just a matter of how long Mayweather tries to carry this oaf.
Mm-hmm.
And he's found a way to make a pretty good living fighting guys who can't fight.
You know, the Body and Soul movie we just talked about, the remake, when they did it in about, I guess it was about 89 or 90, somewhere around there, they did the remake, and it was a weak remake, but they did it, they portrayed it, Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard being part of that movie, and Roberto Duran was the alleged bad guy in that flick, The Body and Soul, the second one, And I remember he was holding a baby, taking a picture with the baby, and the baby peed on him. So we threw the baby on the ground. I thought that was like the most, that just like blew me away.
That's what happens when fiction replaces reality.
Without a doubt.
Well, reality replaces fiction, I should say.
You didn't have any contact with Brando. Schulberg told me that Brando was a good guy to be around. Did you have any contact with him? I think you told me you didn't.
Well, I was in the Army, and I was coming home for a weekend, or maybe I was going back to the base, and we were in, and my parents took me to a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in New York, and Brando was sitting about a table and a half away.
Okay.
And that was around the time he had this big Broadway hit, which I don't remember the name of. I'm glad to hear that he was a good dude to be around.
Well, they said he was a good guy to have around. And then I heard that he got so fat that he had to carry his belly around in a wheelbarrow. Now, is that myth?
It sounds like a joke, and I assume it is.
Okay. All right. The heavyweight championship of the world is going to go down in Las Vegas, of course, in front of 75,000 people now. The big stadium, the Allegiant, I think, stadium, of course, home of the Oakland Raiders, 75,000 people. Will this fight, the fact that they're going a third time, will they be able to fill that place? Do you think the place will be filled?
I don't know. That's a lot of folks. And maybe because it is a big event, and it will get a lot of hype. They'll find a way to fill the stands. But happily, in that event, it's the fight that matters.
Okay.
I mean, they can show two sides of the two fights that they've had. And it's a legitimate trilogy.
Okay, good point. Sky Sports is out of the boxing business. Well, not voluntarily. Barry Hearn has taken his Matchroom action over to DAZN. Isn't that was like one of the biggest television moves in the history of UK broadcasting, without a doubt.
You know, I'm not familiar with that part of the world. I'm curious when something happens, but that's capitalism at its best, maybe at its worst. The guys who put up the best deal are the guys who are going to get the fights.
Good point. Last question for the Godfather. What was the flashiest ring entrance you ever saw? I thought it was Prince Nassim Ahmed coming in on that magic carpet in London.
Well, that was pretty good. I can remember remarking that a lot of people were hoping he went straight to Iceland. but that's pretty good. I don't know what they're coming up with for the heavyweight fight, because the Brit is a great showman,
mm-hmm.
and they'll think of something.
Okay. Well, you have a wonderful day, and say hello to my million-dollar baby, the Godmama, for me. Give her my best, and we'll talk next week. Have a great week, Godfather.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, the great, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Larry Merchant, exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Like the guy said, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder.
I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Sure, you're bone. Get it together.
Right on, right on. Get up, get on up.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
Joe Frazier, Smoking Joe Frazier, of course, Philadelphia's very own, former world heavyweight champion, beat Muhammad Ali, the fight of the century, March 8th, 1971, a 15-round unanimous nod in Madison Square Garden, of course, the fight of maybe of all time, the greatest fight of all time in the minds of a lot of people. Anyway, you know, Joe Frazier and I had a little bit of a weird relationship because when he used to look at me, I'd do a few press conferences and things like that, and I'd be the MC of the press conference. The television people would bring me in to do the MC in the press conference, and of course I'd be hyping things up from behind the dice and this and that. And I remember one time we're eating in a restaurant in Philadelphia, and Joe had a toothpick in his mouth, and he looked over at me, and he was just looking at me like, what are you? And it's because I was doing my thing, we were doing the press conference there in the restaurant. And I always wanted to know what he was thinking about me. I mean, he was always looking at me like a couple times he would look at me through a toothpick. But I always wondered what Smoking Joe was thinking, you know. And I remember he told me one time, you know, you got the gift of gab. And I said, are you saying that I got a big mouth? And he said, you said it. I didn't. Good old Joe Frazier, Smoking Joe Frazier. Of course, one of the not a funny story about Joe Frazier, but the mowing the lawn thing. You know, he's mowing his lawn and he pulls a lawnmower back over his foot and chops off a toe, but the toe stays inside the shoe. Okay, so he drives to the emergency hospital all by himself, observes all the traffic signals along the way. He gets to the hospital, and they take off his boot, and his toe falls off. Joe Frazier, I kid you not. Checking out some boxing results. I don't know if this guy was a tough guy at one point in time. J.D. Chapman, now 30-0, 26 scales, came back after like a 14 or 15-year layoff, but you know, he's 38 years old, and he won every round against an MMA guy named Tony Lopez, Kryptonite Gomez, Kryptonite Lopez. Well, Kryptonite must have been that must have been what he had before the fight because he lost every round anyway. 294 pounds is what this guy weighed on 4 days' notice. Why is he even fighting? He last fought in 2008. Why would this guy even be fighting? I mean, who's willing to pay this guy to fight? I just don't know. Of course, cruiserweight Anthony Martinez went to 10-1 to successfully defended the WBO Latino title by stopping Dominican challenger Christian Galvez, 18-8, 16 KOs at 128 of round number two. Of course, that was at the King of Promotions, El Mundo Boxing in Hotel Catalina, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. You know, they're hopping and rolling over there. Just boxing, man, all over the place. And unfortunately, Kingpin is still around. He's almost old enough to box with me. I kid you not. I'm talking about Kevin Kingpin Johnson. Now at one time he was really a fringe contender, but like a legit top 10 type of guy. I mean, he was worthy of like 8 or 10, somewhere around there in the top 10. Anyway, now 35-18, one stop, one draw, 19 KOs. Of course, he is the opponent. I mean, always now, he's just the opponent. They're bringing him in as the opponent. Of course, he faced unbeaten WBC number 10 ranked contender, IBF number 7, WBA number 9, WBO number 13. Take that back, he was WBC number 10 heavyweight. Ajit Cabarel, now 21-0, 13 kills, a 12-round unanimous nod over a 41-year-old former world title challenger. If you couldn't stop a 41-year-old fat man, guess what? I don't think you're going too far in the world of boxing. Sorry, pal. Just the way to think about it. The German cruiserweight on the card, the prospect, you're calling him a prospect, Roman Frescort, a 6-round KO over previously unbeaten Camille Carrouche, who is now 11-1 with 0 KOs. The 0 KOs are, I haven't seen a guy with 11 fights I haven't seen a guy with 10 fights and no knockouts in a long, long time. I can't even, I remember a lot of women, you know, women can't punch their ways out of paper bags, but they're designing different gloves now, making it sharper, easier for the women to get leverage on their punches. Because, you know, if you're a woman and you weigh 135 pounds and you have a man, you weigh 135 pounds, if they both throw a boxing glove that's 8 ounces, you know, the woman's glove is not going to have the leverage or the power on it. So therefore, I think the gloves in women's boxing should be smaller or at least designed in a different way. Put the weight maybe on the wrist. I think the WBC is working on that. They've been working on that for a long time. But I'm of the opinion they should just, like, take the gloves and make them down to, like, 4-ounce gloves. Let the women fight with 4-ounce gloves, 4- and 6-ounce gloves. And, you know, somebody said to me, oh, you want vicious knockouts and all that kind of stuff. No. I just don't think it's fair for women to have to throw an 8- or a 10-ounce glove. I just don't. I don't think they have the leverage, the upper body strength, the delivery, the speed. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is, unless you're an exception to the rule, you're probably not going to get good leverage on your blow if you're a woman. That's just the way it is. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide, of course, WBC Boxing TV. Hour number 2. We go to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. He'll tell me what's going on. Of course, tell us what's going on in the United Kingdom. Of course, Tyson Fury over there training is part of that Tyson Fury camp, has been in the past. So we'll talk with Kenny in depth in hour number two. The world of the UFC, I'm not into that. I'm getting further and further away from it. Remember, at one point in time, we did almost an hour of MMA talking. Now, I just don't know if it's worthy of talking about, because I'm of the opinion that, you know, Dana White being the pimp that he is, and that's my opinion now, a pimp is somebody that procures prostitutes and makes them do sexual favors for money and then takes some of their money. Well, I think that Dana White does the same thing with MMA fighters. I mean, this is the way it is. He makes these guys get in death match after death match, puts them in tough fight after tough fight. Of course, the training takes away from training has residual effects as well, but these fights have tremendous residual effects. I mean, getting kicked in the head, even if you don't lose, getting kicked in the head or kneed in the head or, you know, that's not healthy, I don't think. Anyway, bottom line is the world of the UFC, $790 million is what it was, made last year, and it gave the talent about 8 to 10%. Now I'm going to say it again, and it sounded a little crude when I say this, but if you were a pimp working the streets of San Francisco back when I was a policeman here, you could not get away with paying your girls 10% on the dollar. You just couldn't do it. I mean, they do a $100 trick, you tell them, that $100 trick, yeah, I'm going to give you 10 bucks. It ain't going to happen. But in the world of Dana's world, he can give them less than 10 bucks. And guess what? They're lining up to take it. Lining up to take it because he's the biggest game in town. And they think, you know, I want to be a star. And that's the only way to go to be a star. Well, unfortunately, in the mixed world of mixed martial arts, I don't think stardom is really attainable to too many people. I think the fact that there's death match after death match and, you know, I mean, the heavyweight champion of the world, Stipe Miocic, what, he defended the title, a total of 3 times. That was a record for heavyweight title offenses. And this title came into existence in 1993. So it's the most I've got is 3 title offenses. Think about that. Heavyweight champion of the world, he can't defend more than 3 times because of the fact he's in death match after death match. Of course, that last time they put Stipe Miocic in that mismatch against Francis Ngannou, Ngannou weighed like 40 pounds more than him, and at least that before the weigh-in, after the weigh-in, God knows what he weighed, but 40 pounds before the weigh-in, you looked at the guys like man versus beast, like you shouldn't be in the same weight class. Maybe there should be a super heavyweight class in the world of the UFC or the world of boxing, maybe over 250 pounds. You know, I talked with Mauricio Sulaimán, president of the World Boxing Council, but he just came up with this Bridgegate weight division, which is 224 pounds, which is like a midweight for a heavyweight. And I think that's sort of cool because, you know, a 225 pound heavyweight has little or no chance against a 265 pound heavyweight. That's just the way it is. I mean, the more pounds, the size, the differential, you know, two things matter in combat sports. Size, and I take that back. Two things matter, as far as size is concerned, and it's pornography and combat sports. Size prevails in both. No doubt about that. Daniel Dubois, remember him? Once beaten guy from the UK, of course, now, was he 16-1, 15 wax? Big puncher at one point in time. Scored a one punch knockout over Bogdan Dunu. And they take that 20-3 now, 16 KOs to win the vacant WBA interim heavyweight title on Saturday night at the Telford International Center in Telford, England. Now, I thought the WBA had that Manuel Char was one of their heavyweight champions. And who was the other heavyweight champion they had? They had like one, two, they've got like 3 or 4 heavyweight champions. So maybe we can figure that out in the coming weeks. Who is the WBA heavyweight title holder, even if it's worthy talking about? You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. After the break, we'll take a trip to, we'll take a trip back in time with one of my favorite people. Maybe yours too. Of course, I'm talking about Muhammad Ali. His death, the anniversary, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, just passed in the last couple of days, and he's been on my mind, and you know, he was the greatest, right? So, after the break, Muhammad Ali and why I am the greatest! You are tuned to Ring Talk, Live Worldwide. Check it, you're inside looking for the world of boxing and MMA. Usually we have a live stream going on, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USC channel, but the damn Twitch went down again. I mean, it's just like, I just like grip my teeth when I come in here, man. But the bottom line is, no Twitch broadcast today. You are tuned to Ring Talk, Live Worldwide. Tower of power to the break. Ain't nothing stopping us now.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Benny King did this song originally. Of course, he was a original member of the Drifters. He took the song to the Drifters. They told him the song sucked, and they sent him on his own as far as doing the song solo. So he did it solo, and he sold more records than the Drifters ever sold as a unit, as a career. I kid you not, Stand By Me. Anyway, who do you think that is? Larry Merchant didn't know. That is Muhammad Ali, then Cassius Clay, back in 1962 or 1963, of course, doing his thing. Hey, he was on the R&B charts there, the rock and roll charts there for a little bit. So Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay has done a whole lot of stuff as far as entertaining people. You know, it's been I think it's been 6 years now since he passed, and it's tough when I look at pictures of him and me and think about the good times we had and you around the world. I mean, he was just a blast to be around no matter where he was. He was always pulling tricks and playing games. He liked to prank people, you know, and the trick, when we used to play the phony thumb, he had a phony thumb where he would like stuff a handkerchief up in his thumb and the thumb would disappear and, you know, he'd say, where's the handkerchief, all that kind of good stuff. He showed me how to do that trick. I mean, it's a pretty good little trick anyway. It's not that difficult, but he did that trick all over the world. We did that trick everywhere we went and they all fell for it. There was no doubt about it. They were just enamored with Muhammad Ali without doubt. So now we go to part two of Muhammad Ali and Why I Am the Greatest.
Kid who will take old man Lister's title away. Me, a little old kid who don't even shave yet. I'm going to be champ of the world before I'm old enough to do my first shaving commercial. And I'm going to make boxing popular again. Me, with my beautiful, colorful personality. I'm going to make boxing interesting. Boxing doesn't have to be dull. It's the fighters who are dull. I watched the fight of the week on TV. They call that the fight of the week? It was so boring, every time the bell rang, it woke up the referee. It hurts me to say this because I know a lot of fighters. And I like them. They are nice, gentle guys who wouldn't hurt anybody, not even in the rain. And I'm going to bring back the excitement in boxing. I'm going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. And I won't be satisfied with that. After becoming champion of the world, I'm going to become champion of the universe. I want to take on those little green men from Venus. Those slick, shiny-headed green men. I can lick them. I won't be afraid of the way they look. After all, they can't look no worse than Sonny Liston. Yes, America, I'm the resurrector of the fight game. I'm going to save boxing. I'm going to bring boxing back to life. Fighting was dull until I came along because the greatest wasn't around. But time brings about a change. As the earth rotates around the sun, a change takes place. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter. Boxing was at the winter stage. But now the flowers are blooming. Spring is coming. I am on the horizon. Liston's fall will mark the arrival of spring. Yes, there's going to be a new champion. A champion you can tell your kids to be like. I'm a perfect idol for the kids. I'm good looking, clean living, culture, and I am modest. I am so modest I can admit my own fault. My only fault is I don't realize how great I really am. It's hard to be humble when you are as great as I am. I'm the new frontier of boxing, and boxing must move ahead. I'm going to win the championship with vigor. That's part of my physical fitness program. All Sonny Liston's got is a physical fatness program. And with my vigor, I'm going to ask Congress to help Mr. Liston. I will ask them to pass a health bill. Because after old Mr. Liston fights me, he's going to need Medicare. And if I hit him in the mouth, he's going to need Dentacare. Yes, I'm going to move boxing ahead. I don't ask what boxing can do for me. I ask what I can do for boxing. Because I am great. I am the greatest. And I can even tell the truth about the future. To prove this point, I would like to read one of the many masterpieces I wrote this afternoon. My Prophecies by Cassius Clay. When Cassius says a fight will go 5 rounds, the bell for the 6th just never sounds. When I tangled with Archie, I predicted 4. And that's all there was. There wasn't any more. When they queried me about the Cooper bout, I answered with Shakespearean thrift. When they asked me what round I knocked Henry out, I answered, Henry the 5th.
The one, the only, Cassius Marcellus Clay, of course, born January 17th, 1942 in Louisville, Kentucky. Died 6 years ago in Arizona near Phoenix, of course. The septus was the alleged result of his death. But the bottom line, it was just natural causes, and he was like, He was tired. I mean, Muhammad Ali, when I watched him the last couple of years, it was really, really tough for me to look at him on TV. And, you know, people would tell me, I saw, like Larry Holmes would tell me, yeah, I was with Ali last week. He didn't say a word. Well, how long were you with him? Like 2.5 hours. Like, 2.5 hours? He didn't say nothing? He didn't say one word. I said, toot, come on. Anyway, but that's the way it was. He was sort of like, I don't want to say in a vegetative state, but he wasn't in a productive state as far as being able to express himself in the last couple of years of his life. So may he rest in peace. And it was a tough way to him to go. I mean, tough way for him to go. Imagine this, being the most prolific speaker, being the most prolific person on the planet, and then being silenced by Parkinson's. I mean, one day he was talking, the next day he was mumbling, and then he wasn't mumbling too much after that. And, you know, I was with him in China on a couple of occasions, and when he had to really work to get the thoughts to his mouth. In other words, he had no problems writing down. I mean, he would write back and forth. He was sort of cool. We'd be on the bus together writing notes back and forth. I wish we could have kept those notes, man. But anyway, we write those notes back and forth. And he was cool writing and fast writing, but he was quicker with the hand writing than he was, and his hands were all arthritic, but than he was as far as, you know, the ability to talk was concerned. So that was a tough thing because I would pick my shots. I mean, I wouldn't ask him about everything. I mean, I wanted to ask him about every single thing in the entire world. I could have kept talking to him for every minute I was with him and beyond. Okay. But I couldn't, you know, he wasn't as sharp. Not put this, he was sharp, but he couldn't articulate himself in the manner which he wanted to. No doubt about that. Now let's talk about some results over the weekend. Of course, I mentioned the fact that, Kevin Johnson got drilled. Guess who was a winner last night? Eva Guzman. That's right. Frank Guzman's wife. Frank lives at work. Frank trains fighters over there at King's Gym in Oakland, California. She beat up on a girl named Isabel Milan. It was a WBA 112-pound title fight. So we'll see if she's good enough to hook it up for the other champions, 112 pounds, 108 pounds. Of course, there's some, man, Baby Doll's a good fighter. She's not about that. Women's boxing is about to make a comeback. And the reason why I say that, because it was so, you know, after Christy Martin, Lucia Riker, it sort of just floundered. There was nobody worthy of watching. Now you've got all these girls worth watching. They're coming around. Of course, you know, Miss Taylor performing a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you've got all these fantastic women now. And like Larry Merchant said, it was probably a lot of it was brought out by the fact that, you know, they had the $1 million baby thing. I mean, the $1 million baby thing just went over well. And Morgan Freeman, I mean, was it Hillary Swank? I think she won some Academy Awards for that. She won an Academy Award. She won an Academy of Best Actress, I believe. So, you know, I mean, no doubt about it, that movie had its effect. Now, as far as top 10 women pound for pound in the world of boxing right now, well, I guess the Puerto Rican, of course, I'm talking about Amanda Serrano. She's going to get involved in an MMA fight this month, I believe. She's 32 years old with a record of 40 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw with like 26 KOs. Jessica McCaskill, of course, we saw her. She's a stockbroker from Chicago. She's now 10-2. She's a wonderful little fighter. She's got a good personality to her. Listen, how many high techie girls, you know, how many techies are like world champions? But Jessica McCaskill is just that. And Cianessa Estrada, of course, she's the number 3 pound for pound fighter as far as the females are concerned at boxrec.com. And I'm so high on her. It's unbelievable. She's like 20-0. She's got like 13 knockouts. She comes to us from East LA. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya has her. He's promoting her. He realizes she might be the, listen, She not, might only be the most talented woman out there, although Hector thinks she can't fight much. Hector isn't big on women's boxing. But she may not be the biggest fighter out there, okay, 108 pounds, 112 pounds, 105 pounds. That's what she fights at, those three weight classes. But she probably has the, she probably can articulate herself better than any woman in professional boxing right now. She has almost a professional wrestling type of shtick if she wants to. I kid you not. So Cienessa Estrada is the 105-pound champion of the WBA. Now, Katie Taylor, of course, coming to us from the UK. She's rocking and rolling. As the rest of the women here, I'm not that all thrilled with, because you know I'm not a fan of Clarissa Shields. Sorry, Clarissa. All the title belts you can have, all the title belts in the world, but you know, I wouldn't walk across the street to see you fight unless they were paying me. That's just the way it is. Sorry, Clarissa Shields, what she's done. 11-0 with like one knockout or two knockouts. Not too much. Cecilia Brekus, she's seen better days. Of course, the pound-for-pound woman's king for a long time. And she ran into Miss McCaskill, so that things will change. Well, no doubt about that. Not only the first time, but the second time. The second time, she was beaten down even worse. So the bottom line is, the end of the day, Cecilia Brekus has probably seen her better days. As far as the rest of the women's concerned, there's nothing really here that jumps out for me. I'm looking down here at the list. Top 25, top 30 women. I don't know. You know, women's boxing, because of Million Dollar Baby, the fact that women feel liberated now, they're in boxing gyms all over the place, it's not any different. I mean, when I was boxing back in the day, we had some female fighters in the gym, so it wasn't a queer thing that we would, an off-the-wall thing where we have some women fighters in the gym and things like that. I remember, Louie? Kim, what was her first name? Anyway, she fought here locally and she like broke the barrier. I think she was the first one to really break the barrier locally. And then we had that Lady Tiger, she was a famous professional fighter. She fought here locally. She fought at the Circle Star. She trained in and out of Newman's gym a few different times. And, you know, to show you how manly she was, I was looking at her in the ring one time sparring, and she was sparring a dude, and I thought there were two dudes. I just thought there were two guys. I mean, I did. When I realized later that she was a chick, you know, that she saw her from the front real close, I said to myself, good Lord, that's a shocker. No doubt about that. Pound for pound, best woman's fighter in the world, without a doubt. Cienessa Estrada. That's my feeling. I just do. I think she's got better skills. She's fast. She moves around. I mean, she can do the southpaw thing. She can do the orthodox thing. I mean, she can do it all. She's fighting at 105 pounds. She's fought people at 112 pounds. And she says she's been at a size disadvantage at 112 pounds. But 108 pounds, 105 pounds, I don't know if she's going to make the big type of money there. I don't know if she's going to make it there. I think maybe 112 pounds might be the beginning point as far as women are concerned, as far as making big money, sister. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And if somebody just sent me a text, what about Daniela Romina Bermudez? I think she's like 29-4, something like that. I'm not too high on her. She comes to us, of course, from Argentina. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, little tower of power to the break, down to the nightclub. You know the story, right? If you got the dough, the liquor will flow.
There's only one place to go, down to the nightclub.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
I would never let a woman kick my ass. If she tried anything, I'd be like, hey, you get your bitch ass back in the kitchen and make me some pie.
Get what you want.
Those are the mighty horns of the Tower of Power. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. As I look through the wee screen there, I see my producer like sugar gritting his teeth. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history. Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. The stream for the Twitch.tv is out. What can I say other than I want to take this computer and throw it against the wall? But if I did that, I'd really be in trouble, so I can't do that. But I want to. You are tuned to Ring. This obviously. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in the Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Getting some texts here. Why don't I talk more about my travels? I've been to 34 countries. I talk about being in the 34 countries. Why don't I talk more about my travels? Are you ashamed of them? No, I mean, I didn't do anything that was like international incidents or anything like that. I mean, I'd never got any trouble when I was abroad. I was always afraid of that. That's why I didn't do things when I was abroad. And like, you know, I want to talk about, I didn't do scandalous things. I stayed away from scandal when I was abroad because I was afraid that something would happen to me and I'd be an American stuck in another country. And, you know, this didn't work out that way. So a lot of times I just went back to my room and like went to sleep and went to my room and watched the Rockford Files on my computer or something like that. I mean, that's what I did. So me being on the road, although in the daytime, you know, we'd go out and check out various aspects of the country we were in and things like that and do our TV work when we were there. And of course we had the fight cards, but outside of that, you know, I'm not a big party guy. I never was a big party guy. I remember big time we were partying in Budapest, Hungary at the WBO convention a few years back and Don King was drinking and Don couldn't stand up and this and that. And then I tried to stand him up and that was, I almost threw my back out. Imagine trying to stand up at 290. He was dead weight. We're talking total dead weight at 290 pounds, trying to get him from a seated position in a low seat to standing. That was tough. It took four people. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, on WBC Boxing TV. We have an event coming up on July the 3rd. I do Palomento Productions, of course, going to present La Fuente 2021. Check out the website, LaFuente2021.com. Of course, we're rocking and rolling. Figure to dance. We'll have Bobby A, the DJ, and, of course, Mr. Salsa as well. Going to rock and roll. Going to bring things back to the old school days. That's going to be July 3rd at Rockapoco in San Francisco, California. Check it out, LaFuente.com. Don't forget, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV coming up after the break. We'll bring in the UK ace, Sir Kenneth Rainford from the United Kingdom on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Stay tuned after the racist news.